Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is May 16th, and this is a look around the Jaguars organization. And coming up, a visit with Jaguars cornerback A.J. Boye. He just signed a big-time free agent deal with the Jags, and he seems to be settling in nicely in the offseason program. We'll break down his day-to-day schedule right now and his motivation for Week 1 against his former team, the Houston Texans. Our conversation is coming up. But before we get to football, a Daly's Place update. We're less than 2 weeks away from the opening. Tedeschi Trucks Band is Saturday, May 27th. Construction continues at a feverish pace over there. Rigging for the stage lights is going up right now. Signage is starting to get installed. The guest services staff has already had training. 27 shows have been announced already for Daly's Place this year. The latest announcement was Mary J. Blige, August 23rd. That's a Wednesday night. Other recent announcements include Tears for Fears, June 10th, Incubus with Jimmy Eat World and Judah and the Lion. That's July 10th. And the first rap act at Daly's Place is July 22nd with Meek Mill and Yo Gotti. Only a few seats remain for opening weekend with Tedeschi Trucks Band next Saturday, and Train OAR and Natasha Bedingfield on May 28th the next day. Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, of course, are already sold out. Now to football. Let's recap Jaguars rookie minicamp this past weekend. It was closed to the public and the media, but after Saturday's work, head coach Doug Marrone, running back Leonard Fournette, and left tackle Cam Robinson visited with the media. We'll get to Fournette and Robinson coming up, but the biggest news from those press conferences was Doug Marrone's comments on Blake Bortles and left tackle Brandon Albert. Everyone, though, starts with a quarterback. And how does Bortles look in the offseason program?
I think improved. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think there's certain things that I think when you guys are able to go see there, with as far as his elbow and his arm, he's done it. It's much improved. You know, and I think there's still other things that we're still working on along with everyone else at this stage. So we're trying to build it up so that when we get into the OTAs, it's like anything else. You know, we're going to, you know, he will, as anyone else, will benefit more. You know, if we're throwing 100 footballs to 150, if we throw 150, he'll be better. If we throw 200, he'll be better. If we throw 250, he'll be better. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, what we're doing now is trying to build him up and build the arm, you know, strength and all the other things, along with all of our quarterbacks, to get there. So the more he throws, the better it'll be.
Good signs, but of course that will become real once the football is for real, but a good start for number five. Now to the other big offseason topic, Brandon Albert. The two-time Pro Bowl left tackle is not reported for voluntary work, which in of itself is not a big deal. It's voluntary. The questions for the team come since he has not been in contact with the team. And for Marrone, no contact and no direction, no matter what that direction might be. Well, that's the frustrating part.
I think what hurts me a little bit, or maybe, and it actually hurts more than it does, like, mad, is that, you know, I just want to know. So when you ask me a question, I can answer it. Or, you know, Dave Caldwell asked me a question, I can answer them. You know, I can't. You know, they asked me to say, "Hey, have you?" I don't know. Is he going to come? I don't know. Is he going to play? I don't know. I mean, that I think is the more frustrating thing. I've been in these situations a lot where players, you know, I've had a player on a tag. I've had a player on a couple things. Hey, coach, look, I'm on a tag. I'm not signing a tag. I'm not going to come for anything. But hey, I'm going to be working out. I'm going to be training. Hey, I get it. That's the business side of it. I'm good. You know, you just want to know what's where everyone's at. You know, and that's all I was expecting. Because I can't tell you what's true or what's not true, and I can't speak for Brandon. I can only tell you that I have not talked to him.
That's life in the NFL, and the general consensus around this office, at least, is that it's only a story since it's the off season. These things normally have a way of clearing up before real football begins and real money is lost. But stay tuned anyway. Now back to the rookies. The Jaguars had over 60 players in the camp this past weekend, including the 7 draft picks and the undrafted free agents on the team. But another group of tryout players off the street were involved as well. And we heard from Leonard Fournette on Saturday, who was asked by Rick Ballew of 1010 XL what it's like to come from a winning environment in high school and college to an organization that hasn't won a lot of games recently.
They picked us players for a reason. You know, they believe in us. And, of course, we have to believe in ourselves that we can turn anything around. You know, that's why they drafted me, Cam, Didi. I mean, they draft us for a reason because they see some potential in us. So, I mean, our job is to go out every day, get better. You know, as a team, we have to come as one each and every day.
That's a similar sound to what we heard from Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith and some others over the last couple of years. Really good to hear. It was also our first time hearing from the second-round pick, left tackle Cam Robinson. He's a physically imposing figure at 6'6", 322 pounds, and he still has a little room to fill out above the waist. The challenge, he says, is getting back right now into regular football mode.
I think what people fail to realize is there's a difference between actually being in football shape and being in, you know, combine shape or pro day shape or whatever it is that you're preparing for. So I think it takes a minute, not too long, but it definitely takes a minute for you to kind of get back into football shape and get back to, you know, getting used to going through actual football practice. Because honestly, you just want to get back to it as fast as possible. And the quicker you get to it, the quicker you're able to get back in football shape, and the quicker you're able to kind of get acclimated to what you know we're doing in Jacksonville. So I think it's good.
Marone did say that Robinson worked exclusively at left tackle this past weekend, his position throughout his career at Alabama. And with Jags O-line coach Pat Flaherty working with him on a daily basis and Tony Boselli around to poke his head in from time to time, Robinson will have some of the best tutelage in the NFL. Not that he needs a lot. The guy won the Outland Trophy last year as a junior. And as we heard last year, word out of Tuscaloosa is that when the competition is high on the other side of the line of scrimmage, Robinson turns up his game. It's time to see that every week here in Jacksonville. Now to the veterans. This is the final week of Phase 2 of the offseason program. Phase 3 starts next week with organized team activities, practice number 1 on Tuesday. And with the veterans in and about to mix in with the rookies for the first time, it's a good time to catch up with one of the newest Jaguars, free agent cornerback A.J. Boye. He's getting settled into his environment here in Jacksonville. What's up? How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. And we're just talking off the air. What time does your day start every day right now?
I just wake up like at 6, get here like 7 o'clock. So just usually start at 7, 7:30.
And then you breakfast here? Do you go in the weight room first? How's the rest of the day work?
I eat breakfast first, and then I go into the training room, and then we head to meetings afterwards. And then we do the workouts.
And then you come back in, and the day's over.
No, then we got meetings again.
And more meetings.
Yeah, and then do a little extra stuff, and then the day's over.
And what time are you normally out of here? Like 3? 2?
Probably 2.
Okay.
Yeah, good 2, 2:30, so it's not bad.
So this off-season program, there's not a lot of off-season, right? There's a lot of work is what it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but you fall in love with it because you know it's a job at the end of the day. You got to get ready for the season, and you got to take advantage of every day. And that's the mindset that they're, you know, emphasizing here. And that's one thing that I learned, you know, throughout the years, just through experience, just what it takes to be a pro.
Take us through the group right now. We got Jalen Ramsey, young, eager, brash, some would say, but in a good way. I think he can back it up. Aaron Colvin battled through a knee injury early in his career and has worked his way into a good role here. There's a lot of other cornerbacks on this team. You are the oldest cornerback by NFL experience on this roster. Do you believe that?
I didn't even know that.
It's like 10 corners.
Oh,
you're
wow.
You're in your fifth year.
Yeah, I never knew that. That's kind of crazy. But, yeah, they're all some great guys. Me and Jalen talk a lot, talk football, just stuff we see on film. You know, I tell him, like, how athletic he is and stuff that, you know, I see. And, you know, he don't take anything personal. He's like, dang, I see what you're saying with that. And then we just always talking football, even when they do special team stuff. We go on the other field and just work together, just pick each other's mind and just see what we like to do and stuff like that. He's a really good guy. Hang out with him off the field, outside of here too. And funny guy, outgoing, as y'all know. But then AC, you know, I hang out with him sometimes too. I trained with him a year ago in the off season, so we've been keeping in touch. And, you know, when it comes to, like, individuals and stuff, I just try to tell the guys what I see. I like to watch their drills and everything and just see what they could work on because I know I would want them to do the same with me, and we just always communicate.
Everybody has a different path to get here. We talked about those two guys, but your path's a little bit different too. Undrafted, let's go even further back. In college recruiting, how many teams recruited you?
Not many. You know, I think I led the county – and interceptions, top 50 state.
It's in Georgia, right?
Yeah, yeah. We won the state championship that year, and I just didn't have many offers. I don't know. I couldn't control that. So Fortunate enough for me, Coach O'Leary and them was very interested. They offered, and then I just committed. And
that was it, right away. Bang,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, that was it. I was like, why would other teams wait this long? Why would I feel like, you know, if you waited this long, what was the point? So, you know, I was blessed to have the opportunity. I took advantage of it. Had ups and downs, but that's like in everything. Made a lot of plays. Got all conference, and then just didn't get drafted. I mean, that's how it goes, but I was fortunate enough to make the team as an undrafted player, and I just learned every year from my setbacks and everything, just kept taking it year to year and just getting better every year.
Couple questions in that whole sequence there. First off, how is Coach O'Leary to play for?
He's a tough guy, you know. When you're coming in, you know, you're the man, supposedly, quote unquote, you're the man in high school, or, you know, things was easier, but it's a new level. Different coaches, you know, when you're getting recruited, they want you there. They'll butter you up. But as soon as you get in as a freshman, they're on you hard. And that's one thing, you know, I had to learn early. I would call my dad, you know, every other day pissed and everything because he was always on us. And he stayed like that all 4 years on me. And, you know, I appreciate it because it mentally made me tougher. But Coach O'Leary is a great guy, great coach. He had his reasons for everything, and at the time, we didn't know that. But now that you look back on it, you kind of appreciate a coach like that because it helped you to, you know, stay on top of everything. He was a true definition of, you know, taking it a day at a time and working hard every day, and he emphasized that with all of us.
When you got to Houston, undrafted, that was a deep cornerback room in Houston, by the way. You had Joseph and Jackson and Johnson, and then a couple of those guys go down. And that's when you had to take your opportunity, right? Because those guys are all high draft picks and big names and have played a lot of games in the NFL. They have I think I read this from an interview from you once, that you said they have a lot more room for error because they're drafted high and they've played in the league. But an undrafted guy doesn't have that kind of room for error, right?
Yeah.
That was your mindset in Houston.
And that's one thing I had to accept. You know, I made a lot of plays. I wasn't as consistent as I needed to be, but I had really good stats my second year, and I tied for, like, the lead in interceptions and whatnot, but I always kept getting taken out. You know, I could have done things on my part better, and I take responsibility for that, but I felt like I was coming into my own, and I was just learning everything, and I was going to get better, and then we drafted Kevin, and I kind of knew it was going to happen, so even then, my opportunities were still low. So I made plays, and even if I gave up a play, I was taken out. And, you know, going into last year, I just, you know, had the mindset. I was like, at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. They've benched me the day of the games before, so it's nothing new with me. I was like, I'm just going to take advantage of and be the best teammate I can. And, you know, Kevin and all those guys, they were great teammates. They always kept me up, kept me high spirits. And, you know, unfortunately, Kevin had went down, and then Kareem was down, but in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to play. They have no way to take me out now. I'm just going to show them. And that's one thing that I tried to do. I just try not to worry about what the coaches and all of them were saying. I was just going to play and help the team win. That was pretty much it.
A.J. Boye is with us. There's the story of when you were in Houston, you were begging to cover DeAndre Hopkins in practice. Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely.
How accurate is that?
Coach,
let me go just check this guy over here.
Me and Hop came in the same year. He was the first round pick, and I was the undrafted guy and everything, and it was like rookie mini camp. I just wanted to go first because I knew he was going to go first, and just wanted to see where I compare with him, and he's a great receiver, and just to see I was able to like shadow him and play with him just got my confidence up. And then I remember not last year, but the year before, the defense wasn't messing with me. The coaches wasn't messing with me or anything. I just wasn't playing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of everything. So I went up to the scout coach, and I was like, I just want to follow Hopkins. Let me play as the number one corner. And I just kept making plays every day. I mean, they didn't get me on the field, but I just was like, I'm going to learn from all that. I'm just going to keep getting better. And, you know, hopefully I made Hopkins better. Hopefully he could say that. But, you know, playing against one of the best receivers and going against him every day, it just helps you as far as getting your confidence up and working on your technique and everything and knowing where you're at with other receivers. So
phase three is coming up. So who do you want to line up against on the Jaguars team right now? You had a chance last few years, obviously,
right,
head-to-head here. But now teammates, is there somebody here, a couple of guys here that
– probably all of them, yeah. Just for the simple fact I've been watching them when we come out there a little bit later, but we already know what Robinson's capable of. Hearns, he's crafty. And then I'm a big fan of Marquise. I told him how good he could be in this league. You know, he's a very explosive player. And then you even have Shane Wynn. I was watching film from the rookie minicamp of Westbrook, and he seems like a, you know, very talented receiver, and he's going to have a bright future.
Hold on. You watched film of the rookie minicamp?
Yeah. I just wanted to see, like, I try to get an edge on what the offense is running and everything and try to see what formations they're doing early, you know, so the first day I'm out there, I could try to rob something, but just, you know, look at the personnel and everything. So I'll just be chilling at home, watching film, reading, and then just playing my Xbox, so it's nothing serious. I like watching film, though.
That's pretty interesting that you go that deep into it to see what the rookie receivers are doing.
Oh, yeah, and then even just watching the rookie DBs as far as individuals and what I see in practice, you know, because at the end of the day, I was in that position, too, where you don't know what to expect coming in. You might be a little nervous, and when you're nervous, you're not focusing on what you need to do to get better every day, because you're just worrying about things that you can't control. And that's one thing that I'm trying to emphasize to, like, everybody. Sometimes you can't control situations, but what are you going to do to just get better?
Last football thought here. We'll move kind of off the field. At your press conference here when you came in, somebody asked you, hey, you're going to play your former team twice a year now. Do you think about that? You said you couldn't sleep the night before thinking about that. Has that changed at all? Have you got your mind around that yet? And what does that mean to you?
No, I think about it every day, to tell you the truth. I keep in contact with some of those guys, but just in my head, I just think about making plays against them. I know who's there, what to expect. I already know probably what coaches and them are going to say and everything, but I'm just excited, you know. It's really nothing personal. It's just that's where I came from. And then when they showed the schedule and I seen that was the first game, I just think about it every day. And I was talking to Jalen about it. Jalen's excited too. So
you think Jalen's excited about it?
I know he's excited. So I just told him, I was like, don't worry about the outside noise. People going to say this and that. At the end of the day, we just control what we can. And that's just to go out there and make plays every game, week in, week out.
AJ Boye, you said you brought your Xbox with you at the house. Is the daughter with you, Zoe?
Next month. She'll be with me all month. So my dad's going to come down and help with that. And, you know, she's hyper, but she's two, but she acts like she's five or six. Oh. She's very smart. So
just wait till she's five or six.
Huh? I know. Hey, next thing you know, she'll turn 14 or 15. I know how
it
goes.
And then start dating and all that, right?
No, let's not talk about that part. But, yeah, that's my little girl, man. She changed my life a lot. I've had a lot growing up to do. Just know that I'm not playing this game for me. I'm playing it for my dad, for her, my family. And I just, at the end of the day, one of my ultimate goals is to be the best player I can be. And when she grows up, people will tell her how good her dad was as a football player and a person. So,
you got the Xbox. Family's coming soon. What else have you done in Jacksonville? Like weekends? Do you stick around here besides watching film and playing Xbox?
I stick around sometimes as far as my family just comes. Went out to eat with Aaron Coven near the beach one time. Most of the time I'm out of town, but you know, even when my family comes, like my cousins and everything, they just want to check out the city. And I've been to Topgolf.
Nice.
That's fun.
Are you a good golfer?
No, I'm not. But I want to pick it up. You got to focus on technique a lot. It helps you to stay focused. But it's very fun, you know. So eventually I'll pick it up whenever I find time. But right now, like, I just focus on relaxing, staying off my feet and everything, and just traveling sometimes.
We're looking forward to seeing you on the field. I know phase three OTAs are coming up. We'll have a chance, our first chance at least, to get out and see you. And we're glad to have you here in Jacksonville.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming in to do this today.
Oh, no problem. Most definitely.
Remember this week, Jags Live at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale this Thursday. The Frank Frangie Show on 1010XL starts at 3 o'clock on location, followed at 6 o'clock by Jaguars Thursday, along with Lagerman and Buscelli, yours truly, and a special Jaguars guest as well. Also, the Nocatee Fan Rally is coming up this Saturday. It's an annual event. I'll be there about 10 to 12 in the morning. Hope to catch you all there. Also, the Tom Coughlin J-Fund event is coming up Sunday and Monday at TPC Sawgrass. Look for coverage of that golf tournament early next week on Jaguars.com. Our thanks to A.J. Boye for his time during Phase 2, and a special thanks to Jags Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. And thanks to you for listening to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.